welcome to you tonight. How many of you have been enjoying the name of Jesus so far? You've been enjoying the teaching? Hallelujah. I'm sure you agree it's a departure from the norm. It's a departure from the norm. All right, Philippians 2. You know, when I come, I'm not coming. I come with a sort of outline, but it's mostly mental. I just try to, we just start from somewhere. And then we just trust the Spirit of God. Philippians 2, and, verse 5. Let's just read the scriptures. We'll be looking at the name, and there are one or two things we pointed out last week. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, I thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon me the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Those three verses speak about the incarnation of Jesus. So those three verses will be in line with John's gospel, the first chapter, and the revelation that John gave about Jesus, when he said that no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who was in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. Okay? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, or tabernacled among us, and we behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's talking about the incarnation. So those three verses we just read down is a reference to Jesus before he became a man, and the incarnation. Let me read it again. Verse 6 is, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Actually, not in the form, he actually was God. So before Jesus became a man, there was no son in that sense. Now don't misunderstand what I just said. I'm not saying there's no Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, no. I'm saying there was no son in existence in that sense, in terms of revealed to us. And I said something that is very important that you understand in that John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 18. Look at John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 18. It will help you understand certain things. We now understand why none of the Old Testament prophets could understand God. That one verse says a lot. Look at verse 18. No man, say no man, not Moses, not Elijah, no man had seen God at any time. So the question, what did they see? They saw a form. They saw angels. They had encounter with angels. No man has seen God at any time. And there's a reason why in that same verse of scripture. It says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is where? And the bosom of the Father, he has declared him or revealed him. So it starts by saying no man has seen God. So the idea is that man should see God. But the issue is that no man can see God except God is made manifest as Father. And if God made manifest as Father, there must be a Son. Are we in agreement? So the only begotten Son in the bosom, or it was when Jesus or God became a man, and we see Jesus, that God could be seen. Do you understand that so far? Okay, so it's important that you understand that. So no man has seen God, because God couldn't be understood as God. He could only be understood as Father. So this lines up with Hebrews 1 and the first two verses. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners speaking time past to the fathers by the prophets, he has in this last day spoken to us by who? By Son. He has appointed heir of all things, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image. So in Sunday times, in time past, he's spoken to the prophets by the fathers, but in this latter, he's spoken by his Son. Or the full revelation of God is not available because he's speaking through the Son. And when he's speaking through the Son bears revelation of God as Father. Hallelujah. Are we together? Good stuff. So back to that Philippians 2 now. So verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Who is he referring to? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who was Christ Jesus? He was God. He was God. When he became a man, he was given a name. What was the name? Jesus Christ. Okay? So Philippians 2 is telling us how God became a man. So he speaks about the four gospels, or what the revelation of God in the four gospels through Jesus Christ, before he speaks about who he is now as revealed in the epistles. So let me read them. He made himself of no reputation. He's speaking about how he became a man and took upon the form of a servant, which is, he was a prophet sent by God now, and he yet is God. But he made himself so low that he agreed not just to be a man, but to be a prophet like any other prophet. He became a servant, okay, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Remember, we said that don't overlook any detail. Even the death is calling our attention to the fact that he is submitted to the vilest form of death, reserved from the vilest form of offender or offense. So, wherefore, for this reason, God also has one highly exalted him, and one giving him a name which is above every name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, did he say mention? Okay. So we left some thoughts hanging because we believe that the Bible teaches that it's at the mention. But the Bible doesn't say at the mention. It says at the name. At the name is a reference to his authority, his position, his standing, and his stature. At the name is beyond mention. He's not teaching that we shouldn't mention. I'm not teaching you shouldn't mention. I'm saying mentioning is not a formula. So we've been taught that to mention is all it takes. But we have authority in the scriptures through that mention is not enough. So you can mention without carrying the authority and the power or not realizing what it means. You can just mention. Moreover, if it was just J-E-S-U-S, it would be a formula that works like magic. But it wasn't the only one bearing that name. But when you use the name now, you are standing in the light of the revelation of who he is now. And we said there is a limited revelation of who Christ was in the four gospels. And what a number of ministers, also a number of believers, have encountered is the Jesus of the four gospels. Okay? So we are saying that in order for you to understand the full import of the name, you have to move beyond the four gospels. Now in the four gospels, he was revealed as the anointed one. But in the epistles, is revealed as the exalted Lord. And there's a difference. Is this still called Jesus Christ? Yes. Jesus the Christ in the Gospels is one who was anointed. Jesus the Christ in the epistles is a reference to the exalted Lord who does the anointing, or who gives the Spirit, or who ministers the Spirit. So there's a world of difference. Hallelujah. So there's a... Let me show you something. Look at Acts chapter 18. Let's illustrate that a little. Acts chapter 18. And let's see the ministry of one man like that. Are we there? Acts chapter 18. Verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in what? Scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, that means he's born again. The man is born again. Now, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. I want to see that. This man taught diligently. So whatever he taught was limited, but what he taught well. Whatever he knew was what he taught, but what he taught well, but it was limited to one revelation, the baptism of John. The baptism of John is not referring to water baptism. In the scriptures, we have what you call phrases that are what you call a summary of a particular revelation. Let me explain what I mean. When it says the baptism of John here, everywhere in the Act of Apostles, when he uses the word baptism of John, he is speaking about the revelation of Jesus as the anointed. Should I say that again? He's talking about Jesus the anointed. Remember what we looked at in John chapter 1 when Jesus came to John to baptize in the water. How many remember that? We looked at that. And John said something about Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God that does what? Takes away the sins of the world. Then John began to speak further. He said, but that it should be revealed to Israel. That's why I came baptizing the water. I didn't know him. But he that sent me baptized, he told me that upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining, he it is that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So when the Bible refers to the baptism of John here, he's talking about how Jesus was revealed or made known to Israel. For John witnessed the Spirit of God coming upon him. So he knew Jesus as the anointed only. He didn't know anything about Jesus, the exalted one. Think about that. So knowing only the baptism of John means he had revelation of Jesus only as revealed in the four gospels. That's all he knew. Think about it. Yet he taught it diligently. So I think I said something to us in this series also, that being a teacher doesn't mean you know everything. Being a teacher simply means you have the supernatural ability to explain, even explain nonsense. I'm sorry, but I just need to let you know. To teach means to have an ability to explain. There are people who can only preach, they can proclaim, There are people who can explain. It's a supernatural ability, it's not a natural ability. It doesn't come from studying too many scriptures, no. It is an ability to explain. For the first 8 years of my ministry, I couldn't explain. I could only preach. Now it's almost difficult for me to preach now. I've been teaching for so long. I'm not used to this other unction, the other one. Once in a long while, that one comes. But what am I saying? You can have the ability to explain. It doesn't necessarily have the knowledge. It means it's whatever you know that you still explain, and you explain it well, even if it's in ignorance. You understand? So, knowing only the baptism of John, notice the phrases the Bible uses. It was instructed, verse 25, in the way of God, being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently things of Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Did you see that? So, many of us need an Aquila and Priscilla that will help us. You must have noticed he was teaching that this guy is very diligent. He's a good teacher, but he doesn't know enough. So he must have gone to him after and said that, excuse me, sir, can we see him? And hopefully, obviously, he didn't say, is he for counseling? You know, someone must have listened to them and they're like, no, can we just, and then they explained to him about Jesus, the exalted one. And they brought his understanding. And then his teaching ministry became more pronounced. They expanded on him the way of Lord more perfectly. So you can be a believer knowing only the baptism of John. That means all you know is the revelation of Jesus in the four Gospels. It's not enough to walk in victory and dominion, because now you're a new creation. If any man be in Christ, listen carefully, to be in Christ is not to be in Christ of the four Gospels. If any man be in Christ, he is in the exalted one. Then he is a new creation. The Christ of the four Gospels, you can't be in him and be a new creation. But in Christ the exalted, when you are in him, you are a new creation. All things are passed away, hallelujah. And all things have become new. So there's a world of difference. It's a world of difference. Let's look at one or two things that Jesus also said, so you understand. Look at Matthew chapter 24. And this one baffled me initially. When I first saw it a while back, Matthew 24, look at verse 36. Jesus said something. But of that day and hour, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father holy. Is that in your Bible? Jesus is speaking about the day. The day he will come back. No man knows that day. He was talking about the rapture. This is Jesus of the four Gospels speaking, isn't it? So look at what he said there. Let's look at how he explained it in another of the Gospels. So look at Mark now. Mark 13. When we look at the scriptures, verse 32, we will have a greater appreciation of what we have. Verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son. Is that serious? But the Father. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, I don't know the day. In what capacity? In the capacity of Jesus as the anointed of the four Gospels. He didn't know. Yet he had already told us. Look at John chapter 5. John's Gospel chapter 5. I read from verse 19. Let's read from verse 19. Because when we're reading the Gospels, you have to pay close attention. When Jesus departs from his present status to his future status, when he departs from his present operations to his future operations, we know he told us in John chapter 14 that those who believe on him, the works that he does shall he do, and then greater works shall he do, because he goes to the Father. Because I go is a futuristic sense, something that won't happen. So they doing greater works, he wasn't speaking to them at that time. They do greater works at that time. They were doing what Jesus was doing, but they weren't doing anything greater than that. Well, he said, you will do what I've just done, and you do something greater, because I go to my father was always. So what will happen to them after he resurrects? So here also he begins to teach, and many times when he was teaching, he was saying things that had to do with the future exaltation. So verse 19, see what Jesus said. Then answered, am I in verse 19? Said unto him, very, very, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than this, that you may want. Marvel. Notice that he will show him, not that he has shown him, he will. That's beyond that time frame. He was speaking futuristically. He will show him greater works. Now, next verse. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son does what? Quickens whom he will. Now listen very closely. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son, honors not the Father, which had what? Sent him. Everything Jesus said there, he wasn't speaking about his earthly ministry. Because at this time, Jesus didn't judge any man. So to commit all judgment unto him was speaking about his future office and position. And the Father has committed all judgment. It means that in the exalted position, part of what he will administrate is the judgment of men. Are you together? Are we together tonight? Are you with me? So here Jesus was speaking about he as the exalted one. See what it says there, so you understand what it's saying. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has what? Everlasting. Did anybody receive everlasting life at that time? Did anybody receive? Okay. See what it says again. He shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now look at the next verse now. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming. So he wasn't there. And now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to have the Son to have one life in himself. What does it mean by the dead shall hear and they shall live? He's talking about the salvation experience, being born again. That experience wasn't available until Jesus rose from the dead. So when he was saying of that day and that hour, no man knows, not the Son, but only the Father, he was saying in his position as the anointed one, he didn't know, but not in his position as the exalted one. In his position as the exalted one, he knows all things. Acts chapter 1, his Bible study, so it's good that we read Acts chapter 1 verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That's what disciples were asking. Jesus is speaking about salvation of mankind. They are talking about kingdom of Israel. Can you see that even after he rose, he was short-sighted? So, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons or the sensations or God's timetable, listen carefully, which the Father has put where? In his own power. But you shall receive power. Should I quote that again so you will miss it? He just answered. How were they asking in the flesh, in the senses? Will you at this time restore? He says, not for you to know. Who was he referring to? The apostles and disciples before they were saved. Before they were born again. In this present state, you can't know. But you receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Question, when will the Holy Ghost come? When he is by the right hand of God exalted. Hallelujah. They will receive one power. How would power manifest? They will be reborn. They will be new creations. Whatever therefore belongs to a son will belong to them. And then we follow this process so you see how everything built up. It is not for you to know what the Father has kept in his power. So if the Father keeps some things in his power and is called Father, who can know whatever the Father keeps in his power? Only a son. Were they sons at that time? They were not. So he now says, you shall receive power. And that power was manifest as the same nature that the Father has, which was in the prototype son, which is now in every single son. Hallelujah. That's why Colossians 2 can say, in Jesus, in him dwells all the riches. Look at Colossians 2 and verse 3. Let me show you something. Colossians 2 verse 3. In whom, look at, are in all what? The treasures of wisdom and what? And knowledge. So whatever the Father knows, why are we so sure that we will not miss rapture? Because we know. You are not rapturable. You are rapture yourself. It's amazing the way the church just comes up with all kinds of phrases. Will it be rapturable? Have you heard it before? Before it used to be, we shall make heaven. But now I'm hearing anyone now. Remain as if you can do it yourself. what the Bible calls the blessed hope. It doesn't require our faith at all. It's by the working of his divine power. And that's how you remain rapturable. How do you remain rapturable? Let me think about it. Of that time, of that hour, will we know? Of will we know to the degree of saying that Saturday, you know, it's next Wednesday. I'll start rejoicing. It's actually next Wednesday. We will know to that degree. Someone says, how come? First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need. These that are right unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. It's not going to come as a thief for you, it's for them. The others. Look at the next verse. For when they shall say, peace and safety, their sudden destruction cometh upon them, as they travel upon the woman which are, they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Who did he refer to? Those who are in darkness. But you better not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Lie. It can happen. For you are all children of the light and children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We will know like we know our name. Whatever the son knows, every other son knows. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? That is what we have come into in Christ Jesus. That's what the name means to us. So it's more than, you know, just use my name. It is our name. It's the name of the new creation. So when we are saying praying in the name is not a magic formula that produces results. The name speaks of our inheritance, and we're joint heirs. It means that the name was given to us as an inheritance. The Bible says, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance. Hebrews 1 verse 5. He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Here's the challenge. Once we read that, we see Jesus alone, but it's not supposed to be him alone. Because when he was made so much better, we were made so much better. Hallelujah. Again, it's not figure of speech that's the problem. It's not figure of speech. It's not God trying to excite you. It is God telling you what he has accomplished for you. So you can take your place and stand in your office. So that we are joint heirs, not figure of speech. We really are joint heirs. We are made of the same material. Moses and you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. It means the same building blocks. The same material, the same substance, give you being. If an inferior substance was used, you can never refer to as the Son of God. You can. Be made so much better than the angels. He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent. That inheritance means that the process of his birth, the DNA that was passed into him, how he was born, guarantees an inheritance. He was born of the Father. After spiritual death, never to have anything to do with death ever again, and you were born that same way. Hallelujah. So by inheritance, that would him as yet by inheritance obtain a more excellent name than they. And he says all the angels of God should worship him. That means they should serve him. So when he said they should serve him, they are to serve us. So Ephesians 2 now says that, and you as he quickened, past tense, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the peace of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 4. But God was rich in mercy, in his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, as one quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Next verse. And has raised us up together and made us sit together. That togetherness is a function of being made of the same material, of the same substance, of the same DNA, having the same status and standing. Hallelujah. Remember Hebrews 2. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 14. By the law of repetition, these truths will sink in. Hallelujah. You walk in your liberty. And in Hebrews 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is what? The devil. That is, he might paralyze him. Notice this, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, or he became flesh and blood. That's how he actually with us. He became a man also. Go back a few verses. Not forward. Go back a few verses. Verse 10. For he became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, as God, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captains of the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, or have the same Father, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So notice, Bible says that because we have the same Father, that means because we're born the same way, we have the same blood, the same source, the same genes, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren, because spiritually we look exactly the same. Where is the challenge? You look at the way you look in the mirror, flesh and blood. You are yet to take on your glorified body. You look down on yourself when you are seated with him spiritually. We are seated together. But we are quickened together. We are raised together. Hallelujah. So when Jesus said, in that day, you will ask me nothing. You are not using the name of Jesus now as though Father. If I use the name of Jesus, Father will answer me. No. No. People still believe that Jesus is our elder brother. There's no scripture for it. There's no scripture for Jesus as elder brother. I know you don't like that. But there's no scripture for Jesus as elder brother. There's none. Jesus said, I and the children whom the Father has given me, therefore what? Signs and wonders. But never once was referred to as elder brother. Brethren, it says that we come from the same womb. Adelphos. Those who come from the same womb. So he partook of our nature that we may partake of his. That's what happened. So when you're using the name, you're not coming. That if I use this name, because of that name, God will answer me. No. That's not what the Bible teaches. John chapter 16. Let's see what Jesus said again. Look at John chapter 16. Verse 24. John chapter 16. Are you there? Let's read from verse 23. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask for that hour, in my name, he will give it to you. If you stop there, you will assume Jesus is saying, once you are asking the Father in my name, he will answer you. My name is the magic formula, is magic key. Let's read it for that. What is he saying? Either two of you ask nothing in my name. Ask and you shall want, receive, and your joy may be full. Let me read verse 28 for you. Verse 26 says, verse 26 rather. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you. Notice it says at that day. That I will pray the Father for you. How were they relating with God before? Through Jesus. So Jesus is not saying, in that day, what I really mean when I say that you will ask in my name, this is what I mean. I'm not saying I'll be a go-between. I'm not saying I'll be a go-between. Who was he when he was on the earth? The only begotten. Who is he now? The first begotten. What does first begotten mean? The other begottens. So he's now saying, in that day when I become the first begotten, and you also are begotten, you know I won't need to tell you, I will go to the Father for you. What's the difference? Look at what it says next. For the Father himself loveth you, because you love me and I believe that I came from God. So what he's saying is the same standing that I have with the Father that makes me pray and get answers is the same standing that you will have, and that standing is in the name. Hallelujah. That standing is in the name. That's why you can't, it's not formula. It's just like mention the name of Jesus seven times. Seven is the number of perfection. That's Africanism. It's not scriptures. You have people who say that call the name of Jesus like thunder. That's Africanism. You will never see it in the epistles. We do wonderful things in Africa. Even God knows we're special. When we're tripping to heaven, they say, they are coming. My people. My people, they are coming. They know we are. Even our dance will be different from every other nation. Nigerians are wonderful, I'm telling you. Everyone knows we are wonderful. Now, that's Africanism. It's not the name. Listen carefully. We saw in Acts of the 19, the seven sources of Sceva, isn't it? How many of you know? Do you notice that in that passage in Acts of the 19, that when they used the name and it didn't work, the devil The demon possessed man, the demon inside said that, Jesus, I know, but the demon didn't fall down. The demon mentioned this. You know, it's very funny. The things that we have been watching, you know, you just parried the kingdom of darkness. And when the Christians are acting, it's even more interesting. You have enough things to laugh about. You see, Satan will be sitting on the throne. He has never had a throne in the Bible, but he was sitting on the throne. He's always walking about that, but in their own film, he has a throne. And then you see some people who come and they say, where are you coming from? He always had a very bad voice. Where are you coming from? He said, when we went to so and so place, we were embarrassed there. Somebody used the name of Jesus. When he said Jesus, everybody just fall down. I said, don't mention that name here. No. It's not mentioned. Does it make sense to you? A demon will mention the name of Jesus, it will affect other demons. Does it make any sense? Some things are just not. No, this demon inside that possessed man said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I have experienced. Who are you? You know what I mean? That name doesn't belong to you. That name is not yours. You don't have the nature of that name. Because it's more than the name, it's a nature. Say, Jesus, I know. That's the name that belongs to sons. Paul is sonship I've experienced. But who are you? And the demon mentioned the name. Guess what? The demon didn't go any further. Because it's not mentioned. It's not mentioned. It is revelation. Most of you have never cast out devils. I will see to it. Me and Pastor T, we will see to it that we take you to where they are. Headquarters. You must walk. It is illegitimate of you to be a Christian for more than 2 years and not cast out devils. Why? Why? No. Somebody says, if you are going very fast in a direction and you have never met the devil, you must be going the same direction. Because if you are going where you're supposed to go, you meet him along the way. If you are going about preaching the gospel, you have confronted him. You have never cast a devil. That's why you believe strange stories. Your presence casts out devils. You are a son. You are seated with him far above. It's not your conduct. It's your nature. But you don't say, sister, for me, when are we going? Is it after tomorrow? Okay. I have to be at the boat fast. It's not by fasting. You didn't get saved by fasting. You believed in Jesus. And you were reborn. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It means you are seated. You are far above. You know it like you know your name. And because you know it, the enemy feels it. He can tell a son of God is here. Hallelujah. I will say, so it can't be mentioned. Mere mention wasn't working. It was mastery that was working. There was a mastery as they mentioned the name. And what's in that name is tremendous. It is tremendous. Because it said that the works that I do shall you do, and greater works than this shall you do. And the Bible says the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. And if you're like the last Adam, you're also a life-giving spirit. It means when you go about, you are a life giver. And what it means to be, you are a life giver. The authority is serious. That's why Peter didn't get to the Beetle Gate. As I was saying that, wait, John, let's agree in prayer that this man will rise. He said, no, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, my present tense position, in the name of Jesus. He mentioned it because he knew what was behind it. He used it freely. He didn't need to ask the Father. So you will not need to ask that day. You simply use it as being given. It was given for you to use at your will. And before it was given, there is enough at the back of the name. Hallelujah. So there is never anything like, I tried to use, it's like I'm trying to use the ATM and it's saying insufficient balance. No, there's more than sufficient balance in that name. Glory to God. It's strange. Now there is more than enough balance, but there's lack of boldness in the heart of believers to use. Think about it. There's more than enough balance in that name. There's more than sufficient funds at the back of that name. But there's insufficient boldness in all believers. It's a name you have to use almost without. Mr. T here is the husband of Sergeant McKay of God. Imagine him knocking the door. Hello, who is that? They say, it's me. She never has to say that, you, except she's putting his leg. You. No. It is me. It's a code. He enters. She opens the door. She finds she can open and not look. Because she knows who is there. You know, imagine saying, imagine saying, it's me, your husband, your only husband, the woman. You are not the husband. You cannot be the husband. It's me, it's your husband, the only husband you have, the woman you last year. So she says, something's wrong. That is what some people are doing. You are adding to, no, if you are born again, you were born into the name. The name is yours. It's not how many times you say it. It's an unconscious use. Hallelujah. No. That's what some people are trying to do when it comes to God's presence, because they are not conscious of his own will. He begat us with the word of truth. Hallelujah. Now you are his son. You will forever be a son. And because you are his son, the Bible says, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. That one manner means you don't know the demonstration of love that made you become a son. For to be a son means to be the heir of the Father. It means all the Father has is in your possession. Now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah. Now, say now. Now am I a son of God. It means the name is mine. Hallelujah. What it means. So you don't need faith for the name. I don't need faith to start my car. It's my car. I know it works. I've given it to mechanics. They couldn't start sometimes. I've told them where the security code is. Use security code. Get out. Let me start. Why? It's my car. When I start, I'm not praying, oh Lord, let this car start. Oh Lord. No. It's my car. I know I'll start. When I sit down as a owner. And when I start, I know even the angle to turn the key to start. Without struggle. So I'm not praying that I hope that car. No. It's just that I hope the name works. No. Exceeding great power brought me into existence. That power is still effective in that name. So I'm not hoping it to work. It has already worked by making me born again. It keeps working still. It raises the dead. It opens the eyes of the blind. Opens the ears of the deaf. Hallelujah. Cast out devils. The name of Jesus. It's our family name. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:14. We need to rise. When we're going out on evangelism, and Pastor Tim, we should go on one before this year runs out. We should look for those people where there must be demons. There must be demons. There must be demons because people need to, you need to be exposed to demons by dealing with them, yes. So you can exercise much, so you can become bold. Because I don't know what kind of Christianity you are practicing when you have not met demons. Why? No, it's not good. That's genetic Christianity. No, bread and butter. No. Be raw. Be strong. Hallelujah. When they are using some people's names to cast out demons, you know they're using some people's name. They are so identified with Christ that they are using their name. We will call brother and say, don't call him, we will go. That's how identified they are with Christ. So when that demon said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I've experienced. As they experience you as a son of God, carrying the same name, same inheritance, the same authority, have they experienced you? Paul, we have suffered at the hands of Paul, but you, who are you? I was just saying, if you just read for them, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is what? Name. The name of Jesus belongs to the whole family in heaven and earth. That's what it means. The name of Jesus belongs to the whole family. Which family? The Father's family. Once you belong to the Father, you are his son. Once you are his son, you are named after the same name. Because the name Jesus is given only to sons. Glory to God. So here's the issue. We've thought that it was given only to the first begotten. Look. It was given to the first begotten on our behalf. It was a name that he got by inheritance. How did he inherit it? By birth. So when we also born, the way he was born, we inherited the same name. We inherited the same status, the same authority. That's why we're seated together with him in every places. And that's the place of maximum authority. Hallelujah. That's why the apostles could do what they did. It wasn't because they were apostles. No. And the miracles they did a lot of miracles without mentioning the name, but they were using the name. There's a difference. They were using them without mentioning name. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. If you didn't say amen, And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Next verse. Next verse. And of the rest, there was no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. Next verse. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Next verse. In so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of who? Peter, passing by, my one, overshadow some of them. Notice they didn't say the shadow of Jesus passing by. The shadow of Peter passing by. The shadow of Peter and the shadow of Jesus are the same. A minister went to Africa to minister, and the miracles that happened in the crusade the night before were so many. And then the next day, he went to their market to go and get one or two things. He had a few people were with him. So when people knew it was him, they crowded him and were doing their best to touch him. Religion is bad. It's of the devil. Miracles happened the night before the crusade using the name of Jesus. Now you are now in the market, and because of what people saw the day before, all they could see through this man was Jesus. So they were trying to touch him to be healed. Guess what the man was saying? It's not me. It's not me. It's Jesus. And they're trying to judge me. Jesus whispered to him that, shut up. How would they see me if they don't see you? For as he is, so are we. The Bible doesn't say that the shadow of Jesus. It said the shadow of Peter. Why? They are seated together. They are seated together. So where you are, Jesus is present there. The life-giving spirit is already available there. What's left for you to wake up to the consciousness of it? You don't need more power. All power in heaven and on earth has been given already. You don't need more power. The problem is you have too much power. And you're not using it. That's where the problem is. The problem is not that you have too much power already. And you're not using it. All power in heaven and on earth has been what? Given. Go ye therefore. You know what you're saying? All this power that has been given to me, which is to us, can't work except you people go with it. So you go ye therefore. Instead, we say, you go. Because if I have it, you have it. Hallelujah. So go ye therefore means if you don't go, the power will not. In fact, the power that I have is what you have. That's why I can go and sit. And you're still with me spiritually, but physically you are here. But because you're still spiritually, the power will manifest through you as you go. Hallelujah. Never be afraid to lay hands on the sick. Don't say, it's just my hands. There's nothing in my hands. If there's nothing in your hands, don't lay it on me. All those kind of statements that look like they are humble and it's humility. It's not being humble, it's humility. If there's nothing in your hands, don't lay your hands on me. I don't need your hand. There are people that are walking out with nothing in their hands. Me, I want somebody that has something in his hands. No, I tell you, there's something in my hands. I'm not honoring. Hallelujah. I have the life of God flowing through me. Glory to God. Don't see those. Those things, they look like, he's a very humble minister. Earlier on in the ministry, when I first started, I used to feel guilty that I would go to meetings. And then maybe there's another fellow minister who wants to minister. And before that minister, he would kneel down by the chair and pray. And I'll get up. And then maybe get to the altar and kneel down. Raise your hands and everybody would answer. And I'll be looking at myself, I'm very carnal. Because I'm not even sad. Then later I looked at it, No, I don't come to the pulpit to prepare. I prepare before I come. I am always ready. I preach in season and out of season. I don't preach. I don't study to preach. I study to live. That's who I am when I'm awake, when I'm asleep. I don't need to pray. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying I don't need to do that for you to see. I'm already ready. Hallelujah. And it borrows everything that has to do with me because his life flows through me at all times. Because if I do that, it doesn't mean I'm prepared. It doesn't mean when I pray. No. It doesn't mean anything. It's just for men to see. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if I'm not leading by the altar, that doesn't mean I'm not spiritual. No. Those are external actions. And the things you do with Jesus in private are far more important. Glory to God. So be prepared at any time. Otherwise, you don't need conscious faith. If it is true that as he is, so are you. Then as he is, therefore, he heals the sick. Your touch heals. Demons are cast out. People are well. Assistance comes. Supernatural aid comes in people's lives. Because you are there, he's there also. Hallelujah. That's the name you are using that you carry. Glory to God. So understanding it is important. Peter wasn't praying here. Peter wasn't saying anything. His shadow was healing. You don't shrunk back and say, there's nothing in my hands. No, there's something in your hand because there's something in your life. It's the very life of God that flows to you. Be conscious of it. Be aware. You bear the same name. And God cannot lie. If you bear any name, it means the substance is within you also. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's important. Look at 2 Corinthians 3. I'm deliberately withholding the verse. It's deliberate. 2 Corinthians 3. Let's read from verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ towards God. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves to take anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of who? Is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament. The New Testament is not written in ink. The New Testament is in heaven, wrought in Christ. The New Testament is in our hearts. So when it says able ministers of the New Testament, another word for that is that able ministers of the life of God. So it says, who also, past tense, has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives what? Life. So you have been made an able minister. It means that everywhere you go, you can minister life and minister the Spirit. That's why it's possible that when I preach the gospel to people, men get born again, they receive life. Not only that, I minister the Spirit also. Every believer can minister the Spirit. When the Bible says, when he, Jesus, by the right hand of God exalted, he has shed forth this which you can see and hear. If Jesus is a life-giving Spirit and is seated by the Father's right hand, and you are seated there also, it means you also can minister the Spirit. Hallelujah. You can and you should. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Quickly, Acts chapter 8. Verse 5. Acts 8, verse 5. We're identifying more and more now. See what the Bible says, Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Philip was an usher, a deacon. Okay? He was serving tables. He went to the city of Samaria and preached. What did he preach? Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave it unto those which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he... Did he say which Christ did? Who did it? Who did the miracles? What did he preach? You know, when you are preaching Christ, you are preaching you, yourself. Hallelujah. You are preaching what you have. Such as I have. Give I. He preached Christ. When he preached, what did he did Christ also. He did not preach, he did Christ. He preached Christ and did miracles. Notice they saw, let me explain what that means. Philip was ministering miracles. Is the equivalent of you over there. Yeah, you can walk. Stand up now, you can walk. You come. Bring your leg. Let me pull it. He pulls it. He was ministering the miracles. And he could do it without even saying the name of Jesus. We just say, come, stand up. I watched a video clip of, what's this man's name now? That fat man in the healing mirror. Jaco. You need to watch a video clip of that man's ministry. Dr. Ganegin said, he had the strongest healing anointing he had ever seen on any man. People were in stretchers. Yako will go to them, people that are partially dead, and punch some of them. Now, if you are punching people, you have to know what you are doing. Oh, yes. You have to know what you are doing. You have to be convinced that Jesus saves, heals, and delivers. Or you go to prison, one of the two. Jaco was pulling people from stretchers and pulling them up. The only other person who did something like that in those days was Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth went as far as kicking people. Wigglesworth told a man who had no legs to go and buy shoes. His leg was amputated. He said, go and get shoes tomorrow. The man went and get shoes and he put his thumb inside the shoes and his feet grew out. What's the difference? They were tremendously bold. They were bold. Wigglesworth was repeated not to read any other literature except the Bible. He doesn't read the news. In fact, if you bring the news, he will tell you, please keep it at the door. When you are going, you can take your junk. You don't bring it in his house. Don't bring that here. We only study good news here. He only read the Bible. That was all he read. He never focused on any other thing. So his faith was always on when it comes to the miraculous. And he never took no for an answer. It was Wiggles Ward who came home and he told his wife that, why are people gathered in next door? I see some people said, ah, Mr. James just died. He said, oh, what happened? He said, just collapsed and died. He said, well, when he was alive, we couldn't help him. Maybe we can help him now. He said, that's not. He didn't remove his hand. He just went straight to the next house. We were mourning. My was even. And he went there, he didn't greet anybody. Went the way they laid the man. And pulled the man from the bed and laid him. Walk in Jesus' name. A dead man. Pulled him from it and put him on the walk in Jesus' name. Of course, the body slumped. By that time, if it was you, you would have said, I'm very sorry. Today is Thursday. Jesus usually doesn't work today. I will come tomorrow. He pulled him up again. I said, walk in Jesus' name. The body slumped again. If you are going to pick that man up next time, you better have faith. Because twice you have tried. Everybody can tell that, bros, we can see. They have tried. You can now. You can be come and be going. But Wiggles Ward said he never takes no for an answer. And the third time he didn't just say that. I said walk in Jesus' name, and the dead man's eyes opened and he walked. The man started walking, the man did not, and we also walked the opposite direction and went out of the house. Didn't get anybody where Jesus. I said, where's my food? He was constantly walking in the living reality of the miraculous. He never allowed circumstantial evidence to drill him about the miraculous. So we easily accept a no when the appearance of things change. People like that, they see beyond the appearance of things and they never take no. And we have the same name, the same power, the same resurrection power. Hallelujah. Is that working on all of us? They just use their own more. That's what they just use their own more. Wiggles Ward told them when he was praying for people in the healing by faith, said, and once I pray for you today, don't come tomorrow in the healing line because you're already healed. And he was saying that because some people didn't experience immediate manifestation. He said, but you are healed. I'm telling you, you are healed. He said, don't come in the line again. So the next day, there was a man who came in the line before, the day before. You know, people are like that. Somebody will still try and see whether he can walk. He came in the line. The pastor that was passing them one by one to the stage where he also was, he knew this man had come before. He wanted to tell him that don't go there. But I was like, he felt sorry because the man was still limping and he was having a stick. He said, okay, just can't go. I started praying, just stopped. Said, were you not in line yesterday? He said, yes, but I wasn't. He said, don't talk unbelief to me, you were healed. You just don't have enough sense to know it. Turn the man around. The man with the longest thing. Turn around and kicked him in the bum. He had his stick, fell off the stage. Guess where he landed on his feet, walking fully? The power of God. Hallelujah. And we have the name. Hallelujah. We have the same name. Many times when he's ministering, people went to tell him that as he was ministering, they saw Jesus by his side. Ministering with him. Why? He that sanctifies, and they who are sanctified are all of one. Wherefore is not ashamed to call us brethren. Hallelujah. Say we are brethren. We have the name. I work miracles in the name of Jesus. I minister life in the name of Jesus. I get people saved in the name of Jesus. I minister the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Supernatural aid and assistance in the name of Jesus. I am a life giver. As he is, so am I. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. He has made us able ministers of the New Testament. You go forth in that authority, that power, with that boldness. Take your eyes off your own personal needs and focus on the fact that people need that name. And you're already bearing that name. And the power of that name is at work in you already. Hallelujah. And signs and wonders are waiting. I think it was Dr. Kenneth Copeland that said that the first few people he laid hands on died. There wasn't discouraged. Jesus was the one who said, you shall lay hands on the sick. He said, no, I'm getting better and better. He said, and then they started getting healed. They started getting well. Until I started getting more and more and more because I persisted, I didn't give up. I just continued. Jesus cannot lie. And I started using the name. I started because I was getting more conscious of who I am in the name. So results started flowing in. So it gets to a point where, like, it just starts rushing in.
Bible said there was a crusade that he went to. He said he was so conscious of his identity with the risen Lord. No wonder Paul said, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. I live, yet not I, but Christ. There was a conflict of identities. Yet I live, yet not I, yet I live. Paul, which one is living? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. We also said when he got to that crusade, it was so massive. So many people there. He said as they tried to clear a way for him to get through the crowds, to the podium where he was meant to preach, as he tried to pass through, the power of God started breaking out on every side. As he was walking, it was Jesus walking through, and people were getting healed. It wasn't because he prayed much. It was because he believed much. He understood as he is. Glory to God. So I mean, see, as he is, so am I. His power flows through me. The same power that raised him from the dead has raised me also. The same power that gave him life has given me life. That same power is at work on my inside like a dynamo, producing miracles, signs, and wonders. Everywhere I go, I see by God. I know by God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's harvest miracles this season. Let's bring in the bounty. Let's pursue the lost. Let's get them saved and be joyful and rejoice. Let's take them as spoils, as trophies for Christ. Hallelujah. Let the miraculous just become the norm. Maybe when you step out of campus, sometimes I think campus is a secluded, or a regulated environment. So you don't have any care from the outside world. On campus, we used to do what we call, I had friends who would talk together and discuss which signs did you see today. It was a daily, we were seeing signs on a daily basis. We were getting healed on a daily basis. But my room was called the healing and deliverance room, if I may pay the world. Because we didn't have a care in the world. You know, now in Lagos, you are going through the work, you are coming back into your, so you have, on campus, there was no, we didn't, it was only books and Christ. So we said, who did you get saved today? Or who did you get healed today? Which demon was cast out today? And we used to pursue, our specialty was called guys. And some of those guys were fury demons. And we got many people healed. So it was a daily basis. We couldn't have a week, then when there were miracles or signs or whatever, people would be, we just couldn't have a week. Why? What were you doing? Ask me signs. The Christian life is very exciting when you don't see the power at work. You need to see the power of his name. But you don't just see power by sitting down. You go out. Hallelujah. If I tell you that some ministers don't like ministering in churches, they like ministering outside. You know why? Because there are more signs outside. The church is already saturated. But there are more signs outside. But when you get outside, oh my goodness, you don't do much praying before signs break out. You should be so amazed as how easy it is to heal men. You are talking to someone, you say, but then can I just hold you and say, find me all that? And when you are talking, you are ministering life. And what is that pain? You didn't say anybody, the pain is gone. Is that easy to minister health and life? Try it. You'll be amazed. You'll be surprised. Most of them, when I'm praying, I don't pray. I just say in the name. No. I use the name, but I hardly say the name. I just use the name. I just touch. Why am I touching? I believe I have life. Glory to God. I believe I carry life. Try and use it. Understand. It can't feel. Because the power of the whole of heavens is backing you up. All power and all authority. Hallelujah. All right, we stop here tonight.